Okay, well, thank you, Mark, for inviting me, I think. I should thank you. Thank you for coming this morning to listen to a soil microbiologist talk about soil taxonomy. I assure you, I come in peace. I really, despite my title, I'm interested in kind of bridging the gap between soil taxonomy, pathology, et cetera, and soil microbiology and ecology in particular, but in general, just other branches of soil science. And this invitation from Mark came, I think, because I've complained to Mark many times. I teach intro soil science, and I have to teach soil taxonomy and classification. And we've had a number of discussions, mostly me ranting about how complicated the system is and how difficult it is to teach and to get students interested. I will try to make this brief so that we have a little bit of time, so maybe we can exchange some ideas. So what I would like you to realize that microbiology and soil taxonomy are really not that different. First, I would like to set the stage, you know, what's there not to love about taxonomy in general, with its, you know, humongous names like fine, silty, superactive, non-acid, thermic, molic, zero, fluvent. Here's one from our area. Coarse loamy over sandy or sandy skeletal, mixed active, mesic, typic. This true depth, those are just, you know, soil ones. Here's one from microbiology, chloroflexi, what is that? Or uriarchaeota, again, you know, the language is like a bad mixture of Elvish and Vulcan. There is the humongous books with all the rules, all the keys to, you know, the exception to this and the rule to that, and you do it this way, but only on Tuesdays on a full moon. And then, you know, nothing like the whole idea of taxonomy evokes things like stamp collecting, coin collecting, you know, pursuits of people, you know, that are undergrads are, of course, really interested in pursuing as well. It's really a dream thing for undergrads to do. So I like to emphasize that we're really not that different. Taxonomy of microorganisms and soils is really not that different. In fact, we're both based on the Linnaean idea of classification, and, you know, there is a parallel between the way soils are classified, the taxonomic categories in biology and microbiology and soils. So we have the kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species in biology, and the same idea with order, suborder, grade group, subgroup, family, and series in soil classification, going from the general to the specific. That, again, we're really not that different. I actually used this slide in my class. By then, most people are gone. You lower the lights, you show this, and they're asleep. So we really are not that different. When soil scientists go about classifying soils, they gather morphological information, they gather information about the color of the soil, the depth, and the number of horizons, you know, the presence of different soil structures, types of aggregates, that sort of thing. And then they also go to the lab and get some more information that they, you know, like cation exchange capacity, pH, clay mineralogy, and they use that information along with a key to figure out what kind of soil they have. And microbiologists, until recently, did the same thing. We look at the shape of bacteria. Are there little round balls? Are there little balls stuck together? Are they spirals? Are they oval shaped? So we get the morphological information. Do they have flagella? What kind of organelles do they have? And then we also do metabolic analysis, what kinds of things they can process, what kinds of sugars, you know, do they ferment this or that, what kinds of electron acceptors they use. And then we take that information and also use the key to figure out what kinds of microorganisms we have. So it's really, we really are not that different. there are some differences in information in names. And actually, taxonomy comes out ahead there, because when you look at the names of different taxa in microbiology, you get useless things like, where's my...
Point is right here.
Oh, no, I'm trying to read the tiny print here.
It's pretty small when we're used to the big one.
Yeah. So you get, things like acidobacteria. All right, now maybe that is a bacterium that likes acid conditions or not. Lactobacillus. Well, not sure. Maybe it's, somebody isolated it from milk at some point, but it may or may not have anything to do with milk anymore. It's just from where it got isolated. Sometimes the name just says, really, it's a, hard little ball that, grows into colonies that are white. Again, not very useful information. Or it's the name of the dude that isolated it for the first time. Regardless, it's, not very useful information. When you look at the information in the taxonomic classification of a soil, you have a whole host of information. I think it was developed, this whole thing must have been developed by a German with all of those descriptive. actually, some of my best friends are German, so. But there's a lot more information in the taxonomic classification of a soil, useful information like what kinds of reactivity the soil has, what kind of particle size distribution, soil moisture regime, although apparently Mark wants to do away with that. But there is a lot of useful information in that. However, it's kind of tough to tell what to do with that information. And so I'll give you an extreme example. You've identified your soil or your microbe, now so what? So, in this case, we have the soil map unit in Narragansett soil, the state soil of Rhode Island. There's a mistake in spelling. It's not a slit loam. It's a silt loam. Regardless, you get this kind of vague description. So when you realize, oh, I have a Narragansett soil in my backyard, it's like, yeah, so what does that mean, right? People try to put it in context for different land uses, but it's hard to get excited about that sort of thing. However, on the other hand, microbiologists have pathogens, right? Once you realize, somebody tells you, oh, we've identified the microbe on your skin, and it's a pathogen, you're like, oh, you perk up pretty fast, right? You perk up because in many cases, the pathogen can either cause pain or death or a painful death. Regardless, you kind of go, ooh, I better pay attention here. So there is that difference in perception and interpretation of the information. Here's something that Mark alluded to, and I'm sure you're all familiar with. If Jonathan Swift would have had a field day with taxonomy in general, he wrote this little ditty, big fleas have little fleas upon their backs to bite them, and little fleas have lesser fleas, and so ad infinitum, you could replace rules with fleas, and you pretty much get the same kind of situation that we have with soil taxonomy, and until recently, we had with the taxonomy and classification of microbes, we've had Vergy's Manual of Determinative Bacteriology. We had it between the 20s and the 80s, so for about 60 years. And it doesn't look that different from that page from soil taxonomy that Mark showed. There's rules and exceptions, and then rules to create the rules to then have the exceptions. Soil taxonomy, when I was a grad student, there were 10 soil orders. Now there's 12, and now you're thinking of adding a couple?
Well, we might take one out.
Oh, okay, good. and you could fit that book in your back pocket.
You've got to be able to have the calendar,
That's right. I like it. So keys to soil taxonomy suffer from the same, arcane language rules upon rules, then exceptions to the rules, and, you know, only on Wednesdays when you turn to the left, that kind of thing. And so we in microbiology got lucky that this guy, Carl Wuss, he was a microbiologist and a biophysicist at the University of Illinois, came up with this crazy idea, at least in the 70s it was a crazy idea, that morphology and metabolism of microorganisms was just not cutting it. To classify life on Earth, he figured out that DNA could sketch a much more accurate picture. And so, of course, everybody thought he was crazy, and they gave him all kinds of crap for years. But we have eventually, in biology and in microbiology, adopted that idea. And so these days, if you want to identify a microorganism, you can do this either for a single organism or for a community. You collect your sample, you extract the DNA, you PCR it, as the students say, you make copies of the DNA, and you sequence it. And then based on that sequence, you can figure out what kind of organism you have. Not only that, you can also figure out the relationships among organisms, not just microbes, but all living things that have DNA in them. So the tree of life is, as we understand it today, is based on Wuss's ideas from the 1970s, which have also benefited tremendously from all the advances in molecular biology, sequencing, and computation, so that we can figure these things out relatively routinely. I mean, it's really not that hard or expensive. Well, since I don't have to do it, my grandsons do, to do, you know, the whole sequencing and analyzing of the data. So DNA turns out to be the underlying principle of microbiology or microbial classification, biological classification in general. And so you have to ask yourselves, what's the underlying principle of soil taxonomy? And so I went to Brady and Weil, looking for answers. I got this. Two major features of soil taxonomy. It's based on soil properties that can be observed objectively or measured. The objective part seems sometimes, I wonder, because if you ever put, you know, there's that joke where if you ever put two a pedologist in a pit trying to figure out what, you know, they end up fighting or something. Very violent people they are. And then the nomenclature, this is said as if this is a great thing. The nomenclature employed is a definite connotation of the major characteristics of the soil. That is true, but it's in a language no one speaks outside soil taxonomy. And so here's the other quote. Soil taxonomy is based on the properties of soils as they're found today. Okay, then there's the caveat. This does not mean that the processes of soil genesis are ignored. In fact, one of the objectives of the system is to group soils that are similar in genesis. So, which one is it? Students ask me that all the time, and I'm like, I don't know, go ask Mark. I'm a soil microbiologist. So it's not really clear that there is an underlying principle, and as long as there isn't one, I'm afraid you're going to have more meetings about the thing, soil taxonomy is getting too large, and we're going to have to chop off some parts. And then there's going to be different factions and, you know, more violence in the soil pit and that sort of thing. So here we are at the bridge of death. And I'm thinking, you know, it would be nice if we could bridge the gap between soil taxonomy and other branches of soil science, especially soil microbiology and biology. It's going to take, like any other collaboration, both sides trying to figure out the language of the other and what are the needs of the other disciplines, if you will. In the case of microbiology and ecology, probably we'll have to think about scale, both temporal and spatial scales. But, you know, certainly doable. And then the other thing is you need a unifying principle. So there should be a Carl Wuss of soil taxonomy out there looking for the Holy Grail of the of a unifying principle that will make my life easier when I have to teach soil taxonomy. Thank you.